Good morning. Today we're going to be starting on a new topic, and we're going to be doing this over the next 3 months. The name of this book is called The Strength You Need. Somebody's holding it up over there. I got it right here. I ordered some. If you want to order one on Amazon, you could do that too. I think they run around 15 bucks with tax. I'm sorry, what? That book. And the name of that book is the Bible. And the name of this book, the name of this book is The Strength You Need, which actually takes 12 verses out of the Bible and then discusses them. And so that's what we're going to be doing. But anyway, what I'd like you to know is that we have a syllabus of what we're doing. And it is back. It is this one right here. We gave a green one before, and I was wrong in the syllabus. I was off by a week because what was on the publisher's website was different than was in the book. So the blue one, you're going to say out with the green and in with the blue, as Dan Fisher just told me a minute ago. So there's extra ones back there, okay? So just go ahead and take any that you need. And next week, Richard Cobb is going to be speaking. And if you actually look at this schedule here, you'll see what the verses are that we're going to be studying here. Next week is 2 Chronicles 16:9. And then the week after that, Mr. Frank here is going to be speaking on joyful strength, okay? So you can actually follow this here. But anyway, let's go ahead. I'm going to kick this thing off. I'm going to give you an overview today of what we're going to be studying, and then we're also going to get into the actual verse that we're going to be focusing on today, okay? So I'm going to pray because I need to pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for this day. I thank you, Father, for each man here. I thank you, Father, that they trust in you, that they look to trust in you, that they look to put their hope in you. I thank you, Father, that you're going to see them through this day. You'll see them through every day that you give them. And that, Lord, you're going to bring them home. You're going to bring them into a celebration, Lord. But today, Lord, you want them to live in the joy of the Lord. Today, Lord, you want them to trust in you. Today, Lord, you want them to put your faith in you, no matter what. I pray, Lord, that these men would be strong, that they would act like men, Lord, that they would put their trust in you. And that, Lord, that you would be proud of them simply because they trust in you, Jesus. Lord, so today we give this day over to you. We give this hour over to you. We give this time over to you. We ask that you would lead us, that you would direct us, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, because that's the oil of joy that we need. We pray this in your name. Amen. I overslept today, so I usually get up a little bit earlier and review. So my wife looked at me and said, "What'd you do?" Yeah, and I said, "I don't know." And I looked at the alarm, and it said p.m. versus a.m. I think everybody's done that before. I just don't expect to do that. So you kind of take it with what you get. Today, though, what I wanted to do is just kind of give you an overview first on this book, what we're going to try to accomplish in this book, and why we are actually studying a book, okay? And so what we do a lot of times here is we study a book in the Bible, a New Testament book, an Old Testament book. We usually do like a few books in the Bible. And then we'll actually do a book that has some application to certain topics. And next topic, we don't know exactly what it's going to be. We've talked about maybe doing the book of Daniel. But right now we're going to end up doing this book here. And I'll tell you why we did it a little bit. I mentioned this before. I'll mention it again. Richard Cobb originally suggested the book to me. And so I ordered it on Amazon because we had actually gone through a book called The Red Sea Rules, and everybody really thought that was a good book. It had some real practical applications from Exodus 14 in our lives, and it went right into Exodus 14. And in this book, the overview, I read the overview, and this is what kind of stimulated me, and I'll read it here. It's, this gentleman named Robert Morgan, he has a wife named Katrina, and Katrina, he's been married to her for 40-some years, and she's had MS for about 20-some years. And the last 3 years, she's been confined to a wheelchair. And so he actually has to get up in the morning and help her out of bed. And that's the life that he's living, okay? He's also a pastor. He's written dozens of books, I guess. And he travels all around. That's what he does. Yes, Richard.
He's written 30 books, and the government
So, yeah, a lot of books. I personally like a lot of his writing, primarily because he's an authentic individual and he's humble. Those are the type of readers that I read. Okay. But in any event, he started out his book like this. His wife said something to him one morning. She says, "Robert, would you bring me a bottle of extra strength pills?" And I'm going to read this. He says, "Why?" And he said, "Do you have a headache?" And she says, "No, I just need extra strength." So the thought was, I thought about that when I read that. And the idea is that often I need extra strength. Often you need extra strength. And the extra strength we need is not in the form of medication, but meditation, in a sense. I was at the hospital on Thursday, and Grafton Hospital. I happened to be kind of in this waiting room area having coffee, and I overheard this gentleman came in. He looked kind of tense, a little distraught, and he was talking to another gentleman, and I overheard him, and he goes, "I had the conversation with the doctors. I had the conversations, and he says, we're going to have to put my wife's going to have to go in the hospice. We're going to put her at home, and then I got to go later, and I got to talk to the kids about this." And I thought about that as I kind of saw that little scene going on, and I thought to myself, you know, our days are like this. Everybody has a day like that. Everybody has a day like that, has many days like that. When the day comes, you don't know what it's going to bring, but it's a day that you're going to need extra strength. And so my thought was, this is a very practical topic. This is a very practical topic. Because often I feel, and maybe you feel, like you're kind of walking uphill. You're walking against the wind, and you don't know how you're going to make it through the day. You just don't know how you're making it through the day. So what Morgan has done is he's researched, there's actually, in the Bible, there's hundreds of verses that deal with the topic of strength. Hundreds. It must be important. God must want you to hear something about strength. He must know that you need it. And so there's hundreds of verses in the Bible about strength. We're simply going to focus on 12 promises of God. When I say that, these Bible verses that God tells us in the Bible, these are actually God's word. And God's word is God's promises to us. And so we're going to focus on his promise. It's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for him not to be a promise keeper. It's just not the nature of God. So we're going to kind of go through these. And these verses are in the Bible. I want you to think about the Bible. The Bible is the most authentic book that you will ever read in your life. It's a book with joys and glad tidings and happiness and things like that, but it's also a book of sorrows. It's also a book of tribulations. It's also a book where people have depression. Think of the characters in the Bible. God is so authentic. He's so real. He tells it like it is. He tells the story of one of his prophets being depressed. He tells the story of one of his people lying. He tells the story of their sins. He tells everything. You don't write books like that where you just kind of lay it all out, where your heroes have a lot of faults and a lot of flaws, okay? And that's why you don't put your trust in man. You put your trust in God who redeems the man, okay? So the idea is, when we read these verses, we're going to read them, too, in the context that God gives them, because God has them there for a purpose. This is his remedy, basically, for living. He originally actually wrote, he was going to title this book, and I want to read this, from Psalm 84, 5 through 7. And this kind of gives us a little bit of sense of what this whole book is going to be about. I'm going to read it to you. It says, "How blessed," you can go to it, too, if you like, Psalm 84, 5 through 7. It says, "How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. And they go from strength to strength. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion." Every one of them appears before God in Zion. The reality of your life and the reality of the Bible shows that you're on a pilgrimage. You're on a journey. Okay? All the Bible talks about that. Matter of fact, most literature talks about this. You're on a journey. You're on a pilgrimage. And the Hebrews, and this verse is kind of written about the Hebrew pilgrim. And if you know what the word Hebrew means like you're a pilgrim, you're a wanderer. You're somebody that is basically, what you're doing is you're set apart by God, okay? You're a sojourner in a foreign land. You're a sojourner in a foreign land. You're not meant to be here, in a sense. You're a sojourner in a foreign land, but you're going someplace, okay? You're going someplace. Your citizenship is in heaven. So you're a wanderer is what you are. You know, Lord of the Rings had a saying in the book, there's a poem in Lord of the Rings that says, not all who wander are lost. It's about the king that finally becomes the king there. So you think about that. You too are like that. You seem sometimes like you're wandering, but all who wander are not lost. You're on a pilgrimage, and you're going through the Valley of Baca right now. Well, the Valley of Baca was known as the Valley of Tears, or the Valley of Lamentations. It was on the way to Jerusalem, and it was a very dry place. It was a desert place. But God says in that psalm, he says that on the way there, you're going to find springs of water that are going to give you life. And eventually, he says, you're going to go to the Lord. So God is giving you something in the psalm. He says, you're going through a valley of tribulation. You're going through a valley of tears. And eventually, I'm going to bring you to me. But he goes, while you're going through it, I'm still going to give you water. Yea, even though I fast through the valley of death, you shall fear no evil, for thou art with you. His rod and his staff comfort you. He sets a table before you, and he gives you water to drink. You can actually thrive. The Bible says something interesting. It says that as you go through it, Psalm 23, all these, says that you can thrive and you can have joy while you go through the valley of Baca. You can. You know why? Because you're a Christian. Because you have Jesus Christ. You have your hope and glory living within you. You can do this. The Bible tells you you can do this. You may not believe me, but you can do this. Okay. So I want to, like, it says these 12 verses are basically what these are like, is that these are like power lines, as Robert Morgan says, hanging down from heaven, if you will, to give you the strength to get through your day. Okay? So I'm going to read through. The first one that we're going to have is this one. Is this one. It's Deuteronomy 33, 24, 25. That's listed in your blue sheet here. You can turn to it if you like. It says this. It says, Most blessed of the sons is Asher. Let him be favored by his brothers, and let him bathe his feet in oil. The bolts of your gates will be iron and bronze, and your strength will equal your days. And your strength will equal your days. Or another way of saying it, as your days, so shall your strength be. I don't care which way you say it, it's the same thing. Okay? So the idea here is that God allocates our work in one-day increments. One-day increments. You see this throughout Scripture. You know, you have 24 hours in a day, day by day. Psalm 139, 16. We all know Psalm 139, right? God counts the hairs on your head. He knows the thoughts before you say them. He knows where you are. He knows what you're thinking. He knows every single thing about you intimately. But it also says this. It says, your eyes, God, saw my unformed body. My unformed body as I was forming it. He says, all the days ordained for you. All the days ordained for you. God ordains days for you. Not necessarily years, not necessarily weeks. He's ordaining every day for you. All the days were written in your book before even one of them came to be. The idea of this verse is that the work or the burdens that you have to bear, that God's going to also supply your strength for those burdens and for that work that you have today. Robert Morgan gives a story about a president. And the story of the president is, I'll tell you a little about him. He's one president, was actually listed twice among presidents. He was listed for two non-consecutive terms, the 22nd and the 24th president. If you can guess who this is, you can be on Jeopardy. Grover Cleveland, that's correct, okay? So Grover Cleveland served two non-consecutive terms. And I'll tell you why. I'm going to tell you why I'm bringing him up, okay? I don't know much about him, but I read about him. Grover Cleveland was a Presbyterian preacher who was trained in the Christian truth. He faced a lot of troubles in his office. Matter of fact, there was a thing called the Panic of 1893, which led to severe depression. And Grover Cleveland had to kind of navigate the country through this. Even during this time in his second term, when he didn't want the country to panic even further, he had cancer in his mouth and he had a big tumor. And it was very dangerous. So rather than exasperate the situation with thinking, oh no, the president has cancer, he's going to die, and we're already in a panic, he secretly boarded a ship to have the tumor removed and to have this malignant cancer taken out of him. And he didn't tell anybody. Okay? That's what he did. And I'll get to why I'm talking to you about Grover Cleveland. He said this in his dying words. He says, "I have always tried to do the right thing." Cleveland had a motto that he lived by, and it hung up directly over his bed. So when he retired at night, when he woke in the morning, he saw this motto. And he actually said to people, he said, "If I have any coat of arms," and I'm quoting from him, "an emblem, it is this." Guess what it was? Above his bed. A verse that said this. It says, "As your days, so shall your strength be." So when Grover Cleveland got up in the morning and he looked and he saw depression, okay, or he got up and he found out that I have cancer, or he looked and he said, "I got all the problems of the world hanging over me for this country," he looked and he would see a verse that says, as your days are, so shall your strength be. You know, it's a little bit like Reagan saying, "I don't care how anything gets done, as I don't care who gets credit as long as it gets done." You know, people, presidents have models. This is his. And I thought it's a good model to live by. In a sense, maybe we should have that same model kind of emblazoned on our hearts. The point was that God would give him the strength. So I want to kind of just look briefly at the context of this. What is the context of this verse? There was this week, my wife went to a prayer meeting, and one of the people in the prayer meeting is a friend of ours. They're a couple, and they have a daughter named Anna. Anna means God's grace, or God gives grace, and their daughter is having a baby, okay? You know her. And they decided that they were going to name his son, and so my wife came home and said they're going to name their son Asher. And, well, names mean something in the Bible. They may not mean something in our culture, but in the Bible they actually mean something. They actually have a meaning. So Asher, she thought, kind of means joy. It means happy, which is similar to that. But basically, I want to read to you the first story of where this is. It's in Genesis chapter 30, verses 9 through 13. And I want to read this to you. It says, "When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took her maid Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, 'How fortunate!' So she named him Gad. Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. And then Leah said, 'How happy am I? For the woman will call me happy.' So she named him Asher." Asher is the first occurrence of the word happy or joyful in the Bible. And that was the name of this boy. You know who Jake is. Jacob had 12 sons. Asher is his eighth son, his second son by Zilpah. Okay, and Jacob's father was Isaac, and Isaac's father was Abraham. So this line's going down, and God has 12 tribes that are going to represent his people, okay, and that are going to take his message to the world, if you will. All the world's going to be blessed through Abraham, it says, including the Gentiles. So that's what happened. So his name means Asher. And so that's what this girl named, she named her son Asher. It means something. It means happy. Robert Morgan makes these following applications for this, and I'm not going to spend much time on this at all because I'm hoping that Randy's going to kind of pick up on this when he talks about the joy of the Lord is your strength. But you know your problems, the reason that you should be happy is Robert says this. He says, you know your problems are temporary, but your blessings are permanent, right? You should be happy. If you're born into the tribe of Jesus Christ, in a sense, you're born into the tribe of happy, okay? A discouraged Christian is not a good representation for a Christian. If we're to give a reason for the hope within us, you shouldn't be looking discouraged. You should be looking hopeful. Or do you have hope? Are you missing something? But the Bible says you should be hopeful. You actually have an obligation, in a sense, to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You are actually commanded to rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes you need to talk to yourself and say, okay, I'm saying this, but God's saying that. And sometimes you need to repeat what God is saying rather than what your own messed up being is saying. Sometimes you just need to repeat it. God says this. And you need to kind of put that, hide that word in your heart. The rest of the context, and I'll go into this just briefly, but Genesis 49:20 is another instance where we find Asher. And Asher, Jacob is at his deathbed, and it's the next to the last chapter in Genesis. And so Jacob's going to give everybody a blessing, all 12 sons. And for Asher, he basically says this. He says, Asher, most blessed is, or he says this, Asher's food will be rich, and he will provide delicacies fit for a king, which is interesting. Basically, what we find out about Asher is that the tribe of Asher was on the Mediterranean Sea, and it's some of the most fertile land in all the Middle East, and pretty much they became the breadbasket of the Middle East. It's where all the olive groves are, if you will. It's just a rich area. So Jacob's prophecy came true for Asher. Then finally, we see it again in Deuteronomy 33, 24 through 25. And this is the part I want to focus on. It says here, let me go to this actually. Let's see. Deuteronomy 33:24-25. It says, of Asher, he said, more blessed than the sons of Asher, may he be favored by his brothers, and may he dip his foot in oil. Again, there's some olive oil in the sense, oil is always used as like the oil of joy, the Holy Spirit. Your locks will be iron and bronze, meaning he's going to have protection. And God's going to guard his kind of tribe. He's going to give him protection of iron and bronze. And then he says, according to your days, so shall your strength be. So the idea is each day, what God wants us to do, and I want to focus on this, is that God is a God of one day at a time. Rejoice in the day always. Again, I say rejoice, right? You can't live more than one day at a time. You can't live in yesterday, and you can't live in tomorrow. So one of the ways that one of the things we want to do and kind of integrate into how we live is how to live in today. You're better off not trying to live yesterday or tomorrow. Matter of fact, Matthew says this. Jesus preached this all the time. This is like a common refrain in the Bible. Jesus says this. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Why? For tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. And it's a lesson we kind of learn with great difficulty, but it's the only lesson that we can learn that will actually give us peace and tranquility and trust, is that we can get by today, that God's going to make us, help us get by today. So it's kind of the model, too, of every Christian recovery program, if you will. Don't worry about tomorrow. Take care of today. This thread runs. I want to read some examples of this throughout the Scripture just to give you an idea how important this is to God. God supplied the Israelites with manna every day. That's in Exodus 16:4. Listen to this. He said, the people are to go out how often? Each day. And gather enough for how often? Each day. Not each week, not each year, but each day. Okay? Jesus, in Lamentations, says this, our Heavenly Father's mercies are new what?
Every morning,
each day. Great is his faithfulness. Lamentations. Jesus taught his disciples to pray what?
Daily.
For their daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. I hope if you leave here today, you just leave with this one lesson in mind. That you are only going to live daily. Okay? And you need to stop living in yesterday. And you need to stop living in tomorrow. You need to start living in today. It doesn't mean you don't plan for tomorrow. It doesn't mean you repent. Don't repent for yesterday. But it does mean that God is going to take care of today. Okay? Psalm 68:19 says this, blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burdens, the God who is our salvation. God doesn't ask us to bear tomorrow's burdens with today's strength. God doesn't ask us to bear tomorrow's burdens with today's strength. He asks us to bear today's burdens with today's strength. Okay? So think about that. So God grants us, the Asherites, that's what you are in a sense. He says, I'm going to give you the strength for whatever this day holds. You're trusting in God for the day of the day. And that's where you get that quiet confidence. You know, I know it's really difficult. I actually had a challenge, I think, a couple weeks ago. I hadn't been sick in a long time. And they had this thing, it's kind of like a stomach flu. I didn't know what I had when I had it. But next thing you know, I had that nauseous, and it was just so horrible. I wasn't used to it, is what it was. And I simply couldn't even make it through the day. And I was just praying. I started praying that, God, just give me the strength for the day. Just give me the strength for the day. And my whole thing was, God, just help me to make it through the day. And eventually 24 hours was up. I didn't know it was going to end, but it ended, and I made it through the day. Okay? And my wife and I were talking about it later, and she says, yeah, I'm in the hospital, we see people with nausea a lot, and they'd have to make it through each day like that with cancer. Sometimes they have from the chemo. And that's just, you know, I just had a little bit of taste of that. I have a friend that sometimes it's not making it through the day. Sometimes it's making it through the moment. I have a friend that I deer hunt with, and he used to be a respiratory therapist. And he was telling me a story once about a woman that he met, and she was just in utter agony trying to breathe, you know, just trying to talk, just trying to breathe. And he looked at her and he says, you know, he just said, you know, life is short. You know, it just really is short. And we go through this, and she says, yeah. She says, but you know what? It has some awfully long moments. So sometimes you're not just making it through the day. You're making it through that moment, that moment. But God promises you that he will give you strength for the day. And you need to actually repeat this verse back to him. Sometimes you need to repeat back what God has already told you. Sometimes you have to say, Lord, I trust you. You will give me strength for this day. You will not give me a burden that I cannot handle today. You will not give me a trial or tribulation that I cannot go through today, that you will not go through without me. You will go and you will give me strength for the day. And I'm going to trust in you today. Today you need to trust in him. And just focus on that. Satan's going to want you to worry. Satan's going to want you to regret. God's going to want you to forget and repent and trust in his faithfulness, trust in his forgiveness, and look forward to tomorrow, because he's going to be there with you tomorrow. If he's there, if you're not there, you're going to be with him. Your destination, your wanderer, your pilgrim, you're going someplace. But while you're going there, you're being transformed into the image of Christ. And one of the reasons that we do this, you have to ask yourself, you're trusting him one day at a time. And why does he do this? I was reading this. It says, why does God make us trust him one day at a time? Why did he do that in the desert with manna? Why did he do that? God actually tells us this in Deuteronomy 8:3. It says this. It says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you. To teach you. God is always forming you into the image of Christ. To teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the word of God. Every word. That's what he's doing. He's teaching you. The idea of what God's doing when you live by the day by day, is he's teaching you something. He says independence. Independence always leads to pride, and pride goeth before destruction. So you need, he's learning you, in a sense. He's teaching you, if you will, to trust in him daily, to be dependent upon him. And your humble heart, when he brings you to the point of sometimes I cannot handle this, you have to get to the point where you actually get down on your knees and you humble yourself before him and say, I can't do this. I am dependent upon you. That's where God is. If you're not there on a daily basis and God loves you, then he's going to bring you there. A father chastises the children that he loves. Why? Because he wants to shape you into the very image of Christ. So learn to humble yourself before the Lord. Learn to trust in him daily. And that God will never disappoint you. He will give you the strength you need through the day. I'm going to just end a little bit here. It says in the book of, this is not in this book, but I read this and I was reading about Asher. There is a scripture passage, and it's in Judges 5:16 through 17. It's really interesting. I thought it was fascinating. There's a judge named Deborah, and there's a Canaanite king who has 900 iron chariots, and he's going to wipe out the Israelites, going to wipe them out. And all of a sudden, guess who rises to the occasion? You know, the Bible says, be strong, act like men. Well, Deborah gets strong. A judge rises up. And she says, hey, and she goes to talk to Barak, or Barak, one of these guys who's supposed to be going out. And God told him, hey, I want you to trust in me and go out and defeat the Canaanites. I will give you a way. I will do this. And he kind of doesn't want to go. He says, I'll go if you go, Deborah. He's telling, I'll go, Deborah, if you go with me. And Deborah says, well, God said he'd give you the strength. You need to go. Well, eventually she ends up going with him. But I found this was interesting because this whole promise was to Asher about God will give you strength through your days. And I read this in Judges 15, 6, 5 through 16 through 17. It says this, among the clans of Reuben, there's 12 tribes. 8 of them decide to go out with Deborah. 4 of them don't. 4 of them stay home. 4 of them are scared. 4 of them think, I don't want to take the risk. Well, listen to who they are. It says, among the clans of Reuben, there were great searching of hearts. Why did you set Reuben among the sheepfolds to hear the whistling for the flocks? This is like a poem. It says, among the clans of Reuben were great searching of hearts. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. And Dan, why did you stay with the ships? And then he says, and Asher sat still by the sea of the coast. He didn't go out. He got afraid. And it made me think that sometimes what we do is God gives you these promises and we stay home. We stay home. We get afraid. We look at the day and say, I'm going to pull the covers over my head. And when you pull the covers over your head, you're basically saying to God, you're not going to do it for me. You're not going to give me the strength I need to get through the day. But God was telling us, and he tells us in this poem, that 4 tribes decided to pull the covers over their heads, even though God told them that I will give you strength for the day. Now, here's the good news. I read this further on. The good news is this. Later on, there's another passage in the Bible. And again, God tells judges, he tells Asher, Gideon calls him now, he's the new judge. He says, look, I want you to go out and repel the Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the others from the east. And guess what happens? Asher goes out. Asher goes out, and they defeat him. He decided he's going to look at God for the strength for his days. So my encouragement to you is that there's days where you didn't go out. There's days where you pulled the covers over your head. There's days when you gave up and you said, God, you're not going to give me the strength. I'm not going to be able to make it. And God says, yeah, I know you did that. I know you did that. But you know, today's a different day. Today is today. Today, I'm going to give you the strength to go out. Will you believe me and will you trust me? Will you trust me that today I will give you the strength? Tell God that. That shows your trust in him. Robert Morgan ends with this statement. You know, I'll just read it to you. It says, as we face this new year, none of us knows the challenges that lay ahead. I don't know them. Gosh, I'm glad I don't know them. It says, but if we have God, we have the passion of God's power and strength living within us. He will give us the strength for each new day. In him, you'll always find strength for today and hope for tomorrow if you trust in him. So that's where I just want to leave you with that idea, that admonition, that faith, in a sense, the work of God is to believe in him. There is a work. It's called faith. You work by trusting God. I know we're not saved by works, but there's something that you need to do. You need to put one foot in front of the other, and you need to say, I'll trust you today. So let's pray. Lord, I certainly need this verse. I certainly need your word. I do not have the strength in and of myself, Lord, and I don't think any of these men here do either. We think we do. Often, Lord, we're proud. We're arrogant. We think we can do it without you. And that, Lord, that you love us so much that you simply will not allow that to happen because you love us. Lord, you're going to make us dependent upon you because you know it's the only right thing to do. You are God. You created all things. You uphold all things by the word of your power. You spoke them into existence. Who do we think we are? We're just dust. But the most important thing, God, is that you want us to know that you do all this because you love us, because you want to have fellowship with us. That Jesus says you no longer call us a slave, but you call us your friend. The God that we want to be friends of God. We want to have fellowship with you. We want to trust in you. I pray, Lord, that you would give us this hope for tomorrow and this trust for today. That today, Lord, that you would just, in a sense, help us to gird up our loins and believe you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you got your questions.
Sure.
I always go like